I want to continue looking at Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at the last part of the chapter. We looked at it a little of it last week. I find this book has so much in it, it's kind of hard to go through it very quickly because there's many wonderful things that God has for us in this book of Ephesians. But we want to think about Christ's love, living in Christ's love. We heard about it this week. Many have believed in Jesus. And we'll think about it. But I want to start at verse 14 of chapter 3. We'll focus in on the latter part of the verses, but to get the whole section, we need to start. I want to start at verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Wonderful truths. But I'll pick up the last part of verse 17 as it talks about Christ's love. He talked about the scriptures. He said he prayed that they would know the Lord, that they would, he bowed before the Lord, that they would know the riches of his strength, of his grace. And then he prays that they dwell in their hearts, that he live inside them, that they being rooted and grounded in love. So if you have your outline, you can write in some notes along the way. The first thing I want to think about is, if I'm to live in Christ's love, I need to receive Christ's love. Receive Christ's love. The scripture passage on your note says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. As many as received Him. I'm convinced that God loves every human being. Would you agree with that? God loves every person. Does every person receive the fact that God loves them? No. You need to receive, open a heart up to receive Christ's love. How do we receive Christ's love? By receiving Jesus. Jesus is the epitome of God's love. The fact that He came and lived here for a period of time, the fact that He went to the cross, took our sins, and all the stuff that He did for us on the cross, in His resurrection and His ascension, in Jesus we see the love of God. We're so familiar with John 3:16 that says, God loved the world enough to send His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is expressed, contained in, demonstrated in Jesus. So I want to receive Christ's love. Now, when I think about receiving Christ's love, sometimes we have individuals have problems receiving His love because we feel like that I haven't done enough to earn His love. Or I haven't behaved like I think I ought to behave, so I've got to change that before God will love me. We live in a world sometimes where love is conditional, where if you do certain things, then people will love you. If you act a certain way, people will like you. If you have a certain philosophy of life, they will like you. But I want to remind you today, Jesus loves you no matter what. No matter your background, no matter what you've been through, no matter where you stand, no matter the issues you're dealing with, God loves you. And so we want to understand that and just open up our hearts to receive God's love. Say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I receive you into my heart. And I'm going to live in that love relationship. I receive His love. And so I challenge you today, if you've never received Jesus, that you receive Him. You open your heart to Him. Even though you might feel like it's not, you haven't earned it or whatever. I'm glad God didn't say you got to earn my love. Well, I got to thank you, young lady. See, VBS help us know what to do. Thank you, Lizzie. So we receive Him. So I challenge you, open up your heart. Because when you receive God's love, you're safe. Sometimes we're afraid to extend, to get involved or receive love from people because sometimes people's love doesn't last. Some people get married because they love each other and then all of a sudden it's gone. Sometimes in families there are parents who leave, or one of the other parents leave, or other issues. And so we are afraid to let... So when we get the thing about love, we're afraid if I love somebody, I'm going to get hurt. But when you let Jesus love you, you will never get hurt. The love of Jesus will change your life, will be permanent, and you can trust Him with everything you've got. Because He said, I love you enough to die on the cross. I like the poster, and some of you have seen that. It used to be here. I don't see it lately. When they ask, how much do you love me? Jesus said, this is how much I love you. He stretched out His arms on a cross. Said, I love you. A person like that, you can trust. You can open your heart to. You can open your life to. Because He says, I love you. And we can trust Him. One lady wrote about a preschool that she had, a nursery care. She said, one day a beautiful, troubled little girl came to my day nursery. She said, I became captivated with this child from the very beginning, but the child needed so much. She said, I was heartbroken that a four-year-old could suffer such heartache and such pain. She was born in prison after her mom had used marijuana, crack, and cocaine her entire pregnancy. She was nonverbal, had little control. She said, I knew this was going to be a battle with her. Whenever somebody approached her, she became violent for long periods of time. She ended up in a fetal position on the floor, crying out. She said, I found myself praying for her day after day after day. She said, as the months went by, I began to bond with this child and that no one else wanted. She said, she and I worked very hard, one step forward, four steps back. Daily, we sat in the big rocking chair in my office, she said, swaying back and forth, back and forth. She said, during the time that I was rocking her in the rocking chair, I sang, Jesus loves me. She said, she always seemed to settle down and became still after I began to sing the song. The melody seemed to calm her heart. She never spoke, but peace seemed to fill her face, she said, as she listened to the song. One day, she said, after a very long battle, she said, I held my special girl to calm her fears again and to try to ease her pain. She said, in silence, we rocked back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. She looked at me, she said, with tears in her eyes, and she said, for the first time, sing to me about the man who loves me. The man who loves you is Jesus. You can trust Him. So I ask you to urge you, open your heart to Him and say, I accept you. The man who loves me has proven that. Second thing on your notes. He talked about in the scripture being rooted and grounded in Christ's love. A lot could be said about that as I thought about it. Being rooted and grounded. To me, rooted means that's where I draw my strength from. As I think about plants and trees, the roots draw nourishment up. It also provides strength and support for the tree. So I want to be rooted in God's love and grounded in God's love. The scripture passage in your notes says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Rooted in His love. How do I get rooted in God's love? I receive it, but I want to grow in it. How am I going to discover and know and anchor my life more deeply in the love of Christ? One way is opening His love letter. Is this not a love letter? Is this not God saying, I love you, as you read through this? And as you read it and study it and think about it, you're saying, Lord, I want to be rooted in your love. Because everything that He tells us in this book is born out of the heart of love, is it not? Because He cares about us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And so I want to be rooted in that love, firmly rooted, so that no matter what comes, I'm solid in Him, that grounded, that whatever happens to me, I know God loves me. And it's very important. We have a number of people that we're dealing with in our church family are facing some very critical issues. We have about three or four people who look like are going to go to heaven before long. You need to be grounded to know that God loves me in those situations. And anchored that no matter what happens, God still loves me. Because the world and the devil and the flesh says, now God doesn't love you or He wouldn't be letting you hurt this way. God doesn't love you or He wouldn't be letting your loved one die like this. But I want to be grounded in the fact that no matter what's happening to me, no matter the issues I face, no matter the problems I deal with, no matter the health issues or other things, I know God loves me and He's acting out of His love every moment of every day in every situation that comes in my life. I'm going to be grounded in the fact that He does love me. He does love me. And I'm reminded that the Bible says if He gave you Jesus, He's going to take care of you the rest of the way. Somebody who loves you enough to put His Son on the cross, which He did, and allow Him to suffer, which He did, and let Him take our sins, which He did, and allow His Son to feel deserted by His Father, which He did, I can trust Him. I'm going to be rooted and grounded in that love by His grace. So what does that mean to be rooted and grounded? What I think it means is I want to ask God to help me that every action I take is motivated by the love of God. Every time I speak, I want to speak about the love of God and out of the love of God. Every time I serve, I want to serve out of the love of God. Every action I take, I want it to be out of the love of God. All of it. All of it. Lived out of the love of God. Love of Christ. That all my actions are motivated by His love. Now, can you say that's true? Would you say that every action you take is motivated by God's love? No, so there's room to grow in that. There's room to grow and say, God, help me remember that whatever I'm doing today, I'm going to do it because God loves me. I want to serve Him. I want to act out of that love that God has given me. And so I want that to be my motivation. To me, if I'm rooted in His love, it's what comes out of me. It's what motivates me. It's what helps me. It's what directs me. It's that love of God. Being controlled by the love of Christ. And so I want what the next passage of Scripture on your notes says to be true for me and for each of us. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, talking about Jesus, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus said, I want you to learn to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. He becomes the center of our life. And I think as we think about how much He loves us and how much He's already given us, not only in the death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus, but has God given you anything since you got saved? Has He put anything into your life worthy of having since He got saved? So He's worthy of our love. And I want to say, God, help me to learn to love You with all my heart, all of my emotion, all the devotion I've got is to Him. With all my mind, that what I think about and what I meditate on is the thoughts about Jesus and His love, and my mind is filled with Him. That's important that I put into my mind the things of Jesus. Because there's a whole lot of stuff that wants to get in our mind out there. And we need to control what goes in our mind, because what goes in our mind comes out in our life. So He said, I want to love You with my mind. I want my mind to be anchored in You and in Your Word and all that You are. With all my soul, to me that means the whole of my being, the very essence of my life is in Jesus. And every strength I got, every ounce of energy I got, I want to learn to love Him like that. Now I realize I'm not there yet. I wish I was. But can I grow that way? Can you grow that way? Lord, teach me. Help me moment by moment to surrender more of my life to You. Help me to love You with every part of my life so that I'm learning to love You. I believe, as I read this passage of Scripture, the only way we can love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength is by His power. We'll never get it by ourselves. We need to cry out to Him, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me how to love You with all my being so that You're the center of my life. We sang a song that says, All that thrills my soul is Jesus. I want that to be true for my life. It's not always true, but I want that to be true. Do you? God, help me that everything that I focus on is your love, and to learn to love you with everything within me, and that all that thrills me is you and your love and your plan, your purpose for my life. Second commandment, he says, love your neighbor, because if you love God right, you can love people right. It's hard to love people without loving God first. But if you love God, he'll help you love people, because he loves them already. So he just helps you love other people in our life, not only the close relatives and family, but others. So God, help us to be rooted, keeping on thinking about, meditating on. I believe I need to think of it all the time. What did Jesus done for me? And let that sort of come into my being. Think about it. Meditate on it. And I'll be more rooted and grounded in the fact that God loves me. So I can serve him better. I can do whatever he wants better. So I'll be rooted and grounded in love. The next area is seek to comprehend the extent of Christ's love. He said that you may comprehend all the saints, the breadth, the length, and height of his love. How great that love is. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth of God's love. I don't know how you define that. Different people explain that differently. But let me just throw out a couple of thoughts about that. When it says the breadth of God's love, I mean, to me, that means God loves everybody. It encompasses every human being who's ever lived or who ever will live. God loves them. God loves them. And I want to help me to love them as well. But the breadth of God's love encompasses. Aren't you glad he didn't make exclusive people or say only this group or this group I love or this race or this nationality or this economic level or this social level? He just said, no, all of you. I think the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I'm grateful for the breadth of God's love. The length, the extent that God went to, how far it'll reach to all the world. The length of God's love, the height. It draws us from our small world up to heaven, up to the height of the glory of God, the height of his life in us. And then he talked about the depth. What I think of the depth of God's love is that no matter how much I sin, and no matter how far I get away, no matter how deep I may be in the world in sin and wrong, God's love can go underneath that and cleanse that and forgive that and change that and lift me out of that to a whole new life in the forgiven grace of God when I repent of my sin. And he's able to cut deeper than any cancer of sin. He's able to take it all out by his grace and by his love. And I'm grateful for the depth of God's love. Has he done that for you? Has he cut out anything in your life? Has he gone to great lengths to make you right in the fellowship? So he talked about the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of God's love. How marvelous that is. How great it is that he loves us that much. A pastor one day at a service introduced a pastor friend of his who he had known from childhood. Said, this friend of mine wants to share a few words with you. An elderly man stepped to the pulpit, and as he began to talk, he said, a father and his son and a friend of his son were sailing on the Pacific coast when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to the shore. He said the waves were so high that even though the father was an experienced sailor, he couldn't keep the boat upright. And the three were swept into the ocean as the boat capsized. The old man hesitated for a moment and making eye contact with two teenagers who were sitting in the audience. They had been somewhat interested, but thought maybe they'd pay attention now to this story. He continued. He said, grabbing the rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision that he would ever make in his life. To which boy would he throw the other end of the lifeline rope? He only had seconds to decide. The father knew that his son was a Christian. He also knew that his son's friend was not. In the agony of that decision could not be matched even by the torrent of the waves going around him. As the father yelled out, son, I love you, he threw the lifeline to his son's friend. By the time he pulled his friend back to the boat, he his son had disappeared underneath the waves, never to be seen again. He said by this time to these two teenagers who were sitting up and listening very carefully to what he was saying, what the old minister was saying. He continued, the father knew his son was stepping into eternity with Jesus. And he couldn't bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into an eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son to save his son's friend. He said, the old minister said, how great is the love of God that he should do the same for us. Our Heavenly Father sacrificed his only begotten son so that we could be saved. I urge you, he said, to accept this offer to rescue you and take hold of the lifeline that he's throwing out to you in this service. With that, the old pastor sat down. The pastor of the church, the younger man, came up, finished, gave the sermon, gave an invitation. Nobody responded. Within minutes after the service was over, these two teenagers went up to this older man's side. They said, what a nice story, but I don't think it's very realistic for a father to give up his son's life in hopes that the other boy would become a Christian. The old pastor said, well, you've got a point there. He looked down at his worn Bible, but a big smile went across his face. He looked at the boys and said, it sure isn't very realistic, is it? But I'm standing here today to tell you that story gives me a glimpse of how much God loves me, how much God loved us. He said, I was a father, and your pastor was my son's friend. How far, how great is a father's love? The extent that he went to. On the other side of your notes, keep on getting to know the love of Christ. Keep on getting to know the love of Christ. Verse 19 talked about to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. It sounds almost contradictory, doesn't it? Yet to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. What's he talking about? How can you know what you can't know? What I would suggest is, when he talks about knowing the love which surpasses knowledge, I'm convinced that part of what he may be saying is that the love of God can't be understood up here in our brain. Because if you try to figure out and understand why God loved you enough to send Jesus and all that he's done, it don't really make sense to the human mind. But I want to suggest that if you give your heart to Jesus, you can experience God's love that goes beyond knowledge. Do you know something about Jesus that can't be explained? Do you have a relationship with Christ and knowing him that as a result of that, you have a life that's unexplainable, but yet it's very real. It's beyond knowledge, but it's real. God's there. His love is there. It's beyond our understanding. And I believe that I can know the love of God which surpasses knowledge. Knowledge by itself is not enough. I need to experience God's grace. I need to receive that. I can know a lot about God, but until I open my heart to him and let him in and begin to walk with him, I'll never experience that. That's a level beyond knowledge. But also, even though it may be beyond knowledge, can I know a little bit of what I need to know? Do I have to know all of it to know some of it? What I'm suggesting is, as I walk with him, as I study the Word, as I live the Christian life, I can get to know him better and better and better and better. More fully, which the next part talks about. His love which surpasses knowledge. Beyond anything that you and I can explain. I like this song, and when I get to heaven, I'll sing it for you. Maybe, I don't know what the Lord will do there. But you know it. But I just want to read this and remind us of just the fullness. And I know we don't ever quite get all of the fullness of God. But it's a song you know, you've heard, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold a man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I'll boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Thank you, Lord, for love that goes beyond knowledge, and I can know a little bit of it. When I get to heaven, I'm going to know it all. I really believe I know it all. Not now, I only get it, but I'm going to know it all. And thank you for God's grace. Aren't you mad? But talk about being filled up with the fullness of God, that you, when you know his love, allow that to be in you, it to be filled up with all the fullness of God. What's that like? Being full of God? Can that really be? Let me read the scripture passage on your notes. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you've been made complete. And he is the head over rule and authority, over all rule and authority. Now, in Jesus the fullness of God dwells, right? So if you have Jesus living in you, do you have the fullness of God living in you? So I want to get to know the one who is already the expression of the fullness of God. I don't fully know him. I'm not saying that. There's a whole lot of room for us to grow to learn to know him better. But it's not because he's not there. It's because I don't know him who is there. And I want to love him. I want to serve him. I want to read his word. I want to pray. I want to worship. I want to do all those things that will help me know him. So I guess I think of it this way. It's more fully yielding, more and more and more of my life to him. I'm grateful that when we become a child of God, God saves us. We get all of God. We don't get part of God. The goal is for him to get more of me, yielded to the one who already is in me in his fullness. Would you agree that there's more of you that needs to be yielded to God? Are you agree there are areas of your life yet that he needs to take over? But aren't you glad you can do that? Aren't you glad by his grace? You can say, okay, Lord, I give you this, and I give you this, and I give you this. And he shows you again and again areas that you surrender and you get the more, the fullness. That God says, because I love you, I want you to know me fully. I know we won't ever know him fully in this world. But do you suppose we'll know him fully when we see him face to face? We get to really see and know him. Thank you, Lord. Because of your love, I get to know you in your fullness. More fully yield. Another aspect of that is I want to love Christ who exceeds our expectation. Love Christ who exceeds our expectation. In verse 20, he talks about, now to him is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What does he say? God is able to do what? What I think? What I can figure out? What I can understand? What does that scripture say? I want you to know the fullness of God, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Hallelujah. You suppose he's got something more in mind than I've got in mind? You suppose he has some other plans for me bigger than I can figure out by myself? And in his love, he's saying, I want you to surrender to me, and I want to show you those plans. I want to show you that purpose. I want to go beyond anything you expected him to do. His prayer that these individuals, and I pray for us, that he's able to do beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that's in us. So that power is already there. If he wants to go beyond us and do more than we ask or think, is he sitting around in heaven saying, now I can do more than you ask or think, but I'm not going to do it? Or is he saying, I can do it beyond all you ask or think, and I want to do it through you if you let me? Amen. He's not saying, I'm going to hold it, I can do it, but I'm not going to do it. No, he's saying, I want to do it in you. By the power of Christ, the power of the Spirit of God in us. Able to do beyond all we ask or think. So whatever issues, whatever needs, whatever concerns that are in your life, God is able to meet them and go beyond them. because He loves us that much. And He calls us, getting to know Him, that exceeds our expectations. I got a feeling, well, let me ask you, since you became a Christian, have you got more than you expected? Have you found things in your life you never expected God to do in your life? You've already got more than you expected when you got saved. What do you think heaven's going to be like? I really believe that our wildest dream of what heaven's like is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what I expected. Is going to be so small compared to what He's going to give us. And His love, He's offering that to us as we yield our lives to Him. So, I'm going to love Christ and yield to Him and let Him do that. The last thing on your notes, I want to live in love in order to bring God glory. He said that He's able to do all that works within us to the glory of God in the church, in Christ, and in all generations, forever and ever. Our goal is to bring glory to God, to honor Him. So in my personal walk, when I love God and love other people, I'm bringing glory to God. When I live a godly and holy and try to do what He wants me to do, I bring glory to God out of that. So I hope that our motivation is that because Jesus loves me, I want to live this way. I want to live godly. I want to live holy. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be an honest person. I want to be a person of integrity and character and honesty and all those things because He loves me, and I want to bring Him glory, because the only way you and I really live that way is by His grace. And if that's coming out of us, it's Him doing it. It isn't me. I didn't generate it. He generated it because I yield to Him and let Him work through me. And I want to bring glory to God in my personal walk so that when people watch us and watch our lives, they're able to say, something's going on, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. And I wonder what it is. And you tell them it's Jesus. He's the one making me act like that. He's the one making me think like that. He's the one that motivates me to be kind or to help you or whatever I'm doing. It's because of Jesus. So I want to bring Him glory in my personal life. I want to bring Him glory in the church. He said, by this all men will know you're my disciples. You have love for one another. As a group of believers, when we love one another, we honor Jesus. I hope that as we serve Jesus together in this place of worship and in our life, that whenever people come to this place of worship, they know somebody loves them and you love them because God loves them. And in the church, people sense the presence of God who loving them, caring for them. That means I love you no matter what. Sometimes we are guilty of being conditional. We'll love you if you cut your hair right, or if you wear the right clothes, or if you have the right vocabulary. No, we just say, I love you. I want you to know Jesus. Because when you get to know Jesus, does Jesus change your life? He'll change your dress if it needs to be changed. He'll change your language if it needs to be changed. We just need to love people and say, we're glad you're here. We want to get to know Jesus, because Jesus will do the changing. But if I do the changing, it don't work. But if Jesus does the changing, it really works. Because He's changing our heart and our life. So in the church, as believers, as we love, as God loves, we demonstrate glory to God, because that's the only way it can happen, is His glory. In Christ Jesus. Bring Him glory in Christ Jesus. Well, we know Jesus brings glory. But I think our love expresses Jesus. When we really care about people, love people, it shows Jesus. And when we show Jesus, we bring glory to God. When individuals see Christ in us and through us, it brings honor to Him, and it's in Jesus. He said, I want to be in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Oh, may God help us to share. Thank you, young people, for being here. Because I want you to know the glory of Jesus. So the kids after you know the glory of Jesus. So the kids after you know the glory of Jesus. It's not just for us. It's for all those who are around us. That's one of the reasons I'm glad for the carnival and VBS. Because we watch children hear about Jesus. Some of them, several of them, gave their heart to Christ last week. To the generations after generations. God help us to never be content because we're growing up and we're okay. There's a lot of kids, a lot of families need to know Jesus and begin to let that go over and over and over. They know that God loves them and all. How do they know that? Because we love them. We just love on them. We let them know we care. To all generations, He said, forever and ever. Are we going to be in a forever and ever relationship with Jesus? Yes. Are we going to be in a forever love? Oh, yeah. So help us to share it now. So I want to suggest to you today, if you don't know Jesus, He wants to become a part of your life today. He didn't want you to wait. If you never opened your heart to receive Him, He's saying, I want to come into you. I love you who you are. I love you like you are. I want to change you, but I want to let you, will you let me come in? Will you open your heart and say, okay, Jesus, I can trust you. Come in and take over my life. I love you. I want to receive that love and let you love me. Will you pray that God help you to learn to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Will you ask God to help us to be rooted and grounded in love together as people of God in our personal life, in our church life, and ask God to help us? If there's anything in the way, we say, God, clean it out. Sometimes there's problems in our life issues we need to settle. We need to ask God, clean that out, forgive me, change it so your love can flow through me. Sometimes we have problems in our house when the water lines get plugged and water can't come through. Well, sometimes if our lives have got garbage in it, it's kind of hard for the love of Christ to flow through. So we say, Lord, clean that out so that your love can flow through me. I can be a channel of blessing to other people. May God help us to search our own hearts and say, where am I with you, Lord? Am I a clean channel? Can you work through me? Or is there things in my life, attitudes, problems, issues, habits I need to change? Because He wants to change it. He wants His love to flow through us. He doesn't just love us for us. He loves us so we can love other people. His love, He wants it to go through. He doesn't keep it just in us. So today, I hope that you'll think about these passages of Scripture. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 3, that last part, 14 through 21. And say, God, is this true for me? You see, that's what this is all about. I don't care how much, well, you remember a word I say. But I do care if you listen to the Word of God and what God's saying through the Scriptures. Because He wants us to know His love. Really know His love. And accept it. And then live in it. Let's bow together. Dear Lord, You know every heart in this building. You know those who are struggling with issues. Those who are wondering if You really care or not. Because they're going through stuff that is not very good. Help them to know today that You love them. In the midst of that, You're still there. Lord, for that individual who may not know You today, may this be the day when they open their heart and say, Jesus, I've sinned against You, and I don't know You, but would You come and forgive me? I open my heart. Come and live inside me. Lord, I pray for individuals who are already believers that we'll open our heart more fully to You than we've ever done before. Let You fill us up so we're more motivated by the love of Jesus than we've ever been in our life. Help us to be rooted and grounded in You. We commit this moment to You, Lord, a decision moment that we make in response to what we believe God's Spirit has said to our soul today. Have Your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.